Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Dear devotees, from VIHE doing Bhakti Vedanta, we are in Canto 9th and Chapter 16. Today we will start. This chapter is entitled Lord Parashuram Destroy the World's Ruling Class. So, we have discussed in chapter 15, what we have discussed in chapter 15, the Moon Dynasty, Lunar Dynasty, and in that dynasty we have, starting from the Moon God, he is the son of Atri and Anusuya. And they have, and the Moon, the Moon God or Chandrama, he begot the son Buddha from the womb of Tara, the wife of Brihaspati. And this Buddha, through Illa, got a son called Ail or Pururva. And this Purama and heavenly Apsara Urvasi, by their meeting, there were six sons. And of the five sons, we have descendants seen in chapter 15. And the one son, Ayu, which we will read maybe tomorrow. So in this genealogy, there's a Kushu and Kushu Janu, and in that family there was Jamadagni, Maharaj Gadi. So Gadi is a Kshatriya in a Moon dynasty. And he had a daughter, and she is married to Richak Rishi, and Richak is coming from Bhrigu Rishi. His lineage is coming from Bhrigu. Therefore, Parashuram is called Bhargav. So then we have discussed the Satvati, Richak. So this Richak and Satvati, and the wife of Gadi, they exchange the oblation. So the result was that Satvati was supposed to get a Kshatriya son, but she prayed, so her son became Jamadagni. So Jamadagni is son of Richak Rishi, who is Bhrigu Vansi. And the Jamadagni's son is Parashuram. Jamadagni married the Renuka, and he has four other sons, and the youngest is Parashuram. Now this, so we are actually in a Moon dynasty is going towards the daughter side from Gadi, only because to glorify the Parashuram, the incarnation of God. He's not in Moon dynasty as such. Only his mother is coming from the Moon dynasty, or grandmother, Satyavati. So then they have one beautiful Kamdhenu cow, and Kartvik Arjun, a king from higher dynasty. The higher dynasty, he wanted to abduct that cow, and Parashuram become angry and he killed the soldiers and the Kartvik Arjun. And then his father told that you must be tolerant and forgive. Ness is an ornament of a Brahman. So now go for the purification of killing a king. So he said, you become merciful and forgetful. Now the story is, then Parashuram obeyed the order of his father, and he went for one full year for pilgrimage of the holy places. So this is our chapter, start like this. Sri Shuka Vacha Pitra उपकश हाँ पित्रो पशी कृष्टो रामस बिकॉज फादर हैज आस्क्ड हिम टू गो सो परशुराम ही ट्रेवल्ड तथेति कुरुनंदन महाराज परीक्षित ही वॉज ट्रेवलिंग संवंत्रम तीर्थम यात्रम फॉर वन फुल ईयर ही वॉज गोइंग टू द होली प्लेसेस. So this was the beginning of the chapter. Sukhdev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, or son of the Kuru dynasty, when the Lord Parashuram was given his this order by his father, he immediately agreed, saying, let it be so. For one complete year he travelled to the holy places. Then he returned to his father's residence. So now what happened? Something else is happening. Renuka. So this Renuka is the mother of Parshuram and the wife of Jamadagni. Once when Renuka, the wife of Jamadagni, went to the bank of Ganges to get water, she saw the king of Gandharva decorated with the garland of lotuses and sporting with the in the Ganga with the celestial woman, Apsaras. So she was so chaste actually, Renuka, that she was having a earthen pot. And because of her chastity, she could bring the water every day for puja. Before time, always within time. But this day somehow she was looking at the sporting of the Gandharva with the Apsaras. So actually his that part which was earthen unbaked part, it dissolved. And this was some a mental, sort of a mental contamination at the level of men. Only just for a while. Because they were going in a chariot, it was just a moment. But this was the different yuga where mental offense also is punishable. Kali Yuga, we are fortunate that mental offense has no punishment. But the mental pious things has a good credit also. This is in Bhagavatam, first canto. This is a special Kali Yuga. So, when Renuka did this, what happened next? She had gone to bring water from Ganga, but when she saw Gandharva, the king of the Gandharvas, sporting with the celestial girl, she was somewhat inclined towards him and failed to remember that the time for the sacrifice was passing. So she was actually for a moment thinking of this scene. And what happened? Later, understanding that time for offering the sacrifice has passed, Renuka feared a curse from her husband. Therefore, when she returned, she simply put the water pot before him and stood there with folded hands. But, great sage Jamadagni understood the adultery in the mind of his wife. Therefore, he was very angry and told his sons, my dear sons, kill this sinful woman. But the son did not carry out his order. The four sons did not carry out his order. Four elder sons. Now he told Brahmins, you should be forgive. But now he is himself Brahman, but he is not forgiving his own wife. This is Prabhupada will write, and we will see in the purport that this anger and killing of the Renuka for a very mental and tribal contamination, the Jamadagni will suffer the reaction. So the next verse says, Jamadagni then ordered his younger son Parshuram to kill his brother, to kill his brothers who had disobeyed his order and his mother, who had mentally committed adultery. And Parshuram, knowing the power of his father, who has practiced in meditation and austerity, killed his mother and brother immediately. Parshuram obeyed the order. He was knowing that, well, my father will be happy, he will ask me for boon, and I will tell him that yes, let my mother and brother come back to life, number one, and number two, they should never remember that I killed them. So, Srila Prabhupada writes in a purport, the word Prabhavagya, Prabhavagya is significant, means Parshuram knew the provace of his father. Prabhava means influence. And therefore he agreed to carry out his father's order. He was knowing that my father is powerful. He thought that if he refused to carry out the order, he would be cursed also. But if he carried out his father's order and would please him, then the father will be pleased. And person will ask for a benediction. And then he will ask his mother and brother to come back to life, and they should not remember that he has killed them. Now, verse 7 says, Jamardhani, son of Satyavati, was very much pleased with Parashuram and asked him to take away benediction he liked. And Parashuram replied, let my mother and brother all live again and not remember having been killed by me. This is the benediction I ask. So, this was all happening at the ashram of Jamadagni. Where is the ashram of Jamadagni? There's no information here. I was just looking in the net somewhere. It was somewhere in Haryana, they say. There's a place near Kethil, Jajipur or something, where there's a 1 lakh. Jamadagni had an ashram there. And it was near to the Kurukshetra somehow or other, because the Saraswati river was flowing at that place here. And then he will do the tarpan in a samantak panchak, the 5 lakhs with the blood he will make. They were all also in Kurukshetra. So in this vicinity, all these things were. So thereafter, by the benediction of Jamadagni, Parashuram's mother and brother immediately came alive and were very happy, as if awakened from the sound sleep. Lord Parashuram had killed his relative in accordance with the father's order, because he was fully aware of father's power, astute and learning. Okay. So this is just this story. Now what happens? My dear King Parikshit, the son of Kartvik Arjuna, who were defeated by the superior strength of Parashuram, never achieved happiness, for they always remember the killing of their father. So now this is the son of Kartvik Arjuna. They were keeping the grudge against Parashuram because he was powerful. They could not do anything to him. So they planned to kill his father. But now, here Prabhupada's purport is just worth reading. Jamadagni was certainly very powerful due to his austerity, but because of a slight offense by his poor wife, Renuka, he ordered that she should be killed. That she be killed. This certainly was a sinful act. It means Jamadagni, instead of forgiveness, become angry. And he ordered to kill his wife, therefore he was implicated in sin. And therefore Jamadagni was killed by the son of Kartvik Arjuna as a reaction to his sin, as described herein. Lord Parashuram was also infected by sin because of killing Kartvik Arjuna. Therefore he went for 1 year for the purification to the place of pilgrimage. Although this was not very offensive. Therefore, whether one be Kartvik Arjuna, Lord Parashuram, Jamadagni, or whoever, one may be, one must act very cautiously and sagaciously. Otherwise, one must suffer the result of sinful activities. This is the lesson we receive from Vedic literature. So, this purport is little digesting, that we should be careful. Anybody can be implicated in some sins which we may not know, but it can happen. Now what happens? Once when Parashuram left the ashram for the forest with Vasuman, his other brother's name, then 3 other names are there. And his other brother, the son of Kartvik Arjuna, took the opportunity to approach Jamadagni's residence to seek vengeance for their grudges. So they wanted they come there to kill him. The son of Kartvik Arjuna were determined to commit sinful deed. Therefore, when they saw Jamadagni sitting by the side of fire to perform yajna and meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is praised by the best of the selected prayers, they took the opportunity to kill him. He was in meditation, he was in prayers. So they took the opportunity. Otherwise they are powerful saints, they cannot kill. But they took the opportunity and killed. At that time, Renuka was with pitiable prayers. Renuka, the mother of Parshuram, the wife of Jamadagni, begged for the life of her husband. But the son of Kartvigarjuna, being devoid of qualities of Kshatriya, they are Kshatri Bandhu. In a Sanskrit, in a verse, you see, Kshatri Bandhu. Yachyamana means she is begging. Kirpanya, very humbly. Rama Matra, the mother of Parshuram. Parasya Shira Utakritya Nyata Kshatra Bandhava. Kshatra Bandhava means they were not actually Kshatri, but they are relative of Kshatri, means they have degraded from their own Kshatri consciousness. So they were, so therefore Prabhupada writes here, they, devoid of Kshatri qualities, were so cruel that despite her prayers, they forcibly cut off his head and took it away. Not only cut the head, but they took the head with them, left the body behind. Now this poor lady was crying, Ram, Ram, lamenting in grief for the death of her husband, the most chaste Renuka. See, even Sukhdev Goswami is not counting the mental offense of Renuka. Renuka dukha shokatar niganti atmanam atmana rama rameti tataiti vichuk sati. The last word is sati. The word sati means chaste woman, the most chaste woman. And because the Sukhdev and is saying sati, Vyasdev has written sati, it means she was chaste. And the doubt of Jamadagni was a sinful act of his anger, therefore he was killed as a reaction to taste, that's what we read. So she is sati. And she called Rama Rama, means she was calling Parshuram. Although the son of Jamadagni, including Lord Parshuram, were all long distant from the home, as soon as they heard the Renuka's loud calling, Ram, O my son, they hastily returned to the ashram where they saw their father already killed. Now the reaction to the son is like, the verse says so many words. Te means the son of Jamadagni, all five brothers. Dukha, they were very, Prabhupada, in a grief, dukha. Rosha, they were angry. Amrisha, indignation. Arati, affliction. Shoka, and lamentation. Vega, with force. Vimohita, bewildered. So these are the so many words showing the person who, when see his dear and near dead, they become like that. And when he is mercilessly killed, so they are angry and they have all these emotions. Ha tat, and they were crying, oh my father, sadhu, you are so saintly. Dharma nishta, you were dharmaishta, you were very religious. Tyaktva asman, you have given us, you have left us alone. Swargato bhavan, and you have, swara means to the heavenly planet. You have left us and ascending to the heavenly planet. Virtually bewildered by the grief, anger, indignation, affliction and lamentation, the son of Jamadagni cried, O father, most religious, saintly person, you have left us and gone to the heavenly planet. And they are saying further, thus lamenting, Lord Parshuram entrusted his father's dead body to his brothers and personally took his axe, having decided to put an end to all the Kshatriyas on the surface of the world. So now Parshuram is going to the place of the capital of Kartvikarjuna, that is Mahasmati, at the bank of river Narmada. So, O king, Lord Parshuram then went to the Mahasmati, which was already doomed by the sinful killing of a Brahman. Means that place was already doomed because a saintly person, a Brahman, was killed by the Kshatriya. In the midst of the city, he made mountain of heads severed from the bodies of the sons of Kartvikarjuna. So he killed all the sons of Kartvikarjuna and made a mountain of heads of them in the middle of the city. And then, with the blood of the bodies of his son, of these sons, Lord Parashuram created a ghastly river, which brought great fear to the kings, who had no respect for Brahminical culture. Because the Kshatriyas, the men of the power and government, were performing sinful activities, Lord Parashuram, on the plea of retaliating for his murder of his father. So this is only plea. It's not that because his father was killed, so he was killing the other Kshatriyas. He was killing the other Kshatriyas because they become sinful. But he's using this plea. Rid all the Kshatriya from the face of the earth 21 times. Indeed, in the place known as Samanta Panchak, he created 9 lakes filled with their blood. The Samantak Panchak in Kurukshetra somewhere. These 5 lakes they say there, and one of them, those lakes is near to the place where Jamadagni's ashram was there. So some kundis is there still. They say like that. Now this purport is most important. Purport to this verse number. We are in verse number 18-19. This purport is important. Parashuram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his eternal end, his eternal mission is Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashayate Dushkirtam, to protect the devotees and annihilate the miscreant. To kill all the sinful men is one among the tasks of incarnation of God. Lord Parashuram killed all the Kshatriya 21 times consequently because they were disobedient to Brahminical culture. That the Kshatriya had killed his father, that the Kshatriyas had killed his father was only a plea. The real fact is that because the Kshatriya, the ruling class, had become polluted, their position was inauspicious. They were polluted by power and pride. And their position was inauspicious because they were indulgent sinful activities. Brahminical culture is enjoyed in Shastra, especially in Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnayam Maya Srishtam. So, this whole system, according to the law of nature, whether at the time of Parashuram or at present, Prabhupada is now establishing a principle. The principle is this. It is the law of nature. If the government becomes irresponsible and sinful, not caring for Brahminical culture, there will certainly be an incarnation of God like Parashuram to create devastation by, means not God will come, but like Parashuram, there will be devastation by fire, by famine, by pestilence, or some other calamity like corona. You know, this is what actually it means. When all this is happening like that, there's no respect for the Brahminical culture, then the law of nature will take action. Tsunami, all these things. Whenever government disrespect the supremacy of Supreme Personality of Godhead and fail to protect the institution of Varnashram, it will certainly have to face such catastrophes as formerly brought about by Lord Parashuram. So this is a principle. Parashuram is an example, and there is a general principle in this purport, that if the government is polluted by pride and power, and they are inauspicious because they are not respecting the God or the spiritual culture, Brahminical culture, then naturally there will be disaster, natural calamities. Nobody can stop that. Verse 20 says, thereafter Parashuram joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon Kush grass. By performing sacrifice, he began to worship Lord Vasudev, who is the all-pervading super soul of all the demigods and is of and of every living entity. Vasudeva. So he started performing yajna, and the result will be very powerful. What are the results? Yajna. After completing the sacrifice, now what actually Parshuram was doing? He has finished his purpose of incarnation, that he has cleaned the mess on the face of the earth created by the Kshatriyas, which were degraded from their position. Now he conquered the whole world, because all Kshatriya rulers are killed, so all earth belongs to him. But he is a Brahman, he don't want to rule. Now in this yajna, what he is doing, after the completing the sacrifice, Lord Parshuram gave the eastern direction of this planet to the Hota. Hota means one who is putting the oblation in the fire, Swaha. And south to the Brahma. There is always in every yajna there is a place for Brahma. And the west to the Udhavaryu. There is another priest sitting there. And the north to the Udgata, those who sing the Vedic mantras. And the four corner, northeast, south, east, northwest, southwest to the other priest. And he gave the middle. Middle means the rest of the earth to the Kashyap. Actually, it says he gave everything to the Kashyap. And the place known as Aryavart, which is between the Himalaya and Vindhyachal mountain range. Between the Vindhya and Himalaya, he gave to the Upadrishta. Upadrishta. Generally, Upadrishta means one who is observer. One who is sitting up and observing is called Upadrishta. Up means above, Drishta means seer. So, whatever remained, he distributed among the sadhyas and associate priests. So this is what those who were performing yajna, he just gave the whole earth, divided and gave to them. And then what did he do? Prabhupada only writes, what is called Aryavart is between Himalaya and Vindhya hills. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parshuram took the bath known as Avabratha Snana. Avabratha Snana means completing the sacrifice and taking a special bath. Standing on the bank of river Saraswati, that is also in Kurukshetra. Cleared all sins. Lord Parshuram appeared like a sun in the clear cloudless sky. So he purified himself by this yajna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, yajna ardarth karmano anyatra loka karma yam ayam karma bandana, work done as a sacrifice to Vishnu, for Vishnu, has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to his this. So, karma bandhanaha refer to the repeated acceptance of material body, one after other. Karma bandha, bandhan. Karma bandhan means action. So, there will be a result and we have to accept the result. So, to enjoy or suffer the result, we have to take body. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna, meant to satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parshuram was an incarnation of Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had no account for sinful activities. There's nothing that is sinful for him, but anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activity. Must commit means nobody can avoid. So we all are committing some sin, knowingly or unknowingly. How Prabhupada writes, even though he does not want to, for example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street and kill many living beings unknowingly. This is very natural. Therefore, Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna. Anybody knows this Pancha Yajna? All grihasthas must perform 5 sacrifices every day because 5 suna. Suna means killing. Killing. When 5 murders we are doing every day in our home, knowingly or unknowingly. What are the 5 suna and what are the 5 yajna? Anybody remember? 5 suna is when we are. Yeah, Deva Yajna. Deva Yajna. I think other day we discussed this. Rishi Yajna, Pitra Yajna. Deva, Rishi, Pitra, Bhut Yajna and Athati Yajna. Athati means?
It's Manushya Yajna.
Athati means the guest.
Athati means the guest.
And what are the pancha sunu? What are the five murders which we do every day? When sweeping, when filling water, when igniting fire, when sorting out grains. And what is the fifth one? Filling water, sweeping, igniting fire, sorting out the grains, and also this is called especially. Yeah, what is called martyr, and you take the martyr and beat the rice paddy and get the rice out. So these are called 5 suno. Suno means killing. All right, 5 kind of recommended sacrifice to is compulsory. But now Prabhupada is giving hope because we are not doing this. In this age, Kali, however, there is a great concession given to the people in general. Yagnai sankirtan prayai yajanti sumedasa. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna, Krishna Varnam, Tvesha Krishna, although he is Krishna himself. He always chant Hare Krishna and preach Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. This performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession for human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So in our home we should at least chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra once or twice every day to perform this yajna to purify. 24. Now what the Parshuram will do? Now what will happen after the yajna to Jamadagni? His body was there. Thus Jamadagni being worshipped by Lord Parshuram was brought back to life with full remembrance, and he became one of the 7 sages in the group of 7 stars. So Jamadagni is one of the 7 stars. They surround the polyster, Dhru. The 7 star revolving around the polyester, which is Dhru, at the zenith, are called Sapta Rishi Mandala. Every night you can see this Sapta Rishi Mandala. And who are these Saptarishis? Their names are here. Which form the topmost part of the planetary system, reside 7 sages. Kashyapa, Atri, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, Gautama, Jamadagni and Bhardwaj. So these are the Saptarishis. The 7 stars are seen every night, and they each make a complete orbit around the polyester within 24 hours. Along with these 7 stars, all the other stars also orbit from east to west. The upper portion of the universe is called north and the lower portion is called south. In our ordinary dealing while studying map, we regard upper portion of the map as north. This general information. Now what Parshuram will do? My dear King Parikshit, in the next Manvantar, means the next Manvantar, means we are in which Manvantar? 7th. Yes. Yes.
What is the role of seven sages? What they're doing and what is their responsibility?
Generally, when we say Saptarishi, they change. Their name change, they change in each Manvantar. And they are selected in each Manvantar by the incarnation of Manvantar to guide the people on the religious path. So they are the Rishis. We do Rishi Yajna for them. They give us the guidelines. So next Manvantar means, which is the next Manvantar? We are in a seventh Manvantar. Next is the eighth Manvantar. And you must have done the eighth canto is Manvantar. In eighth canto Manvantar. And the other seven Manus will come, their names are given. Some are son of sun god. So eighth Manvantar, lotus eyed personality of God and Parshuram, the son of Janani, will be the great propounder of Vedic knowledge. In other words, he will be one of the seven sages. Now you know what is the function of sages. Can you read this verse like? Can you read the verse? You see what is the function of sages? Great propounder of Vedic knowledge. The seven sages, they propound the knowledge. Is it okay? So Parshuram is going to be Saptarishi in the next Manvantar. Who else you remember will be the one of the rishis in the next Manvantar? Remember? Ashwasthama. Ashwasthama is still alive. He is going to be the next Saptarishi in the next Manvantar. Who is going to be the next Indar in the next Manvantar?
Bali Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj, yes. Bali Maharaj. Now, where is Parshuram now and what he is doing? Lord Parshuram still lives as an intelligent Brahman. He has given up the Kshatri mood now. He is living as an intelligent Brahman in the mountainous country known as Mahendra Parbat. It's called Mahendra Parbat. Completely satisfied, having given up all the weapons of the Kshatriya, he is always worshipped, adored and offered prayers for his exalted character and activities by such celestial beings as Siddhas, Charanas and Gandharvas. So Parshuram is still there till next Manvantar. And how, and what is the time duration of one Manvantar? How many?
71.
How many?
71.
Yes, 71 time, 4 yugas. You just make one, what is called, clock, wall clock, watch. Our wall clock has 12 hours, right? And then there each hour has 60 minutes. And then each minute has 60 seconds, right? This is our wall clock. You make a wall clock of Brahmaji's day. In Brahmaji's day, there are 14 hours. And 14 hours in a Brahmaji's night. So 14, each hour is one Manvantar. Each Brahmaji's hour is one Manvantar. And our 1 hour has 60 minutes. And Brahmaji's 1 hour has 71 time 4 cycles. So this you make a clock, a special clock of Brahma's wall clock. And you make this nice design, and this will show what is happening there. So Parshuram is now, and you can, some other pastime of Parshuram which are in your knowledge, can somebody share few other Parshuram's pastime?
With Bhishma, he fought with Bhishma?
Yeah, Parshuram came to fight with Bhishma when the one princess of Kashi, which Bhisham Dev objected, but she wanted to marry somebody else. She became angry. She complained to Parshuram. Parshuram personally came and fought with the Bhisham Pitamha. But somehow or other, Parshuram is a spiritual master of Bhisham Pitamha. But somehow Bhishma satisfied him. Other very, very famous other pastime?
Rama.
In Ramayana, he is coming there. Who has broken the bow?
Parashuram meets both Lord Rama and Lord Krishna.
He was there. In Lord Ramchandra pastime, he came particularly for the bow. Who has broken the bow of Lord Shiva? Any other, some other pastime of Parshuram, anybody remember? Next verse says, in this way, super soul, supreme soul, the supreme personality Godhead, the Lord, and the supreme controller, the descendant, as an incarnation in the Bhrigu dynasty, and release the universe from the burden of undesirable kings by killing them many times. So here ends the pastime of Parshuram. Now we are coming back to the moon dynasty. Gadhi. Gadhi is, anybody remember which of the six sons of Purarva? Gadhi is coming in the line of which son? Vijay. You know, last one, Vijay. Of the six son, in a Vijay's dynasty is coming Janu, and after the Janu, Kush, and in the Kush, Gadhi. Right? You recall it, and at least what is important that you remember at least, not all the names. Okay, now we are coming back, Parshuram episode is over. Now Gadhi has a son, and he's a Kshatri. But the oblation was of Brahman, so he become Brahman. And this is Vishwamitra. Now there is a pastime of Vishwamitra. Something about Vishwamitra here. It's okay? So from this verse 28, the subject is changing. Vishwamitra, the son of Maharaj Gadhi, was as powerful as the flames of the fire because of his austerity. He was shining brilliantly like a fire because of his austerity. From the position of a Kshatriya, which he was born in a dynasty, he achieved the position of powerful Brahman by undergoing penance and austerities. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now having narrated the history of Parshuram, Sukhdev Goswami begins the history of Vishwamitra. From the history of Parshuram, we can understand that although Parshuram belonged to the Brahminical group, he circumstantially had to work as a Kshatriya. Later, after finishing his work as a Kshatriya, he again became Brahman and returned to the Mahendra Parvat. Similarly, we can see that although Vishwamitra was born in a Kshatriya family, by austerity and penances he achieved the position of a Brahman. These histories confirm the statement in Shastra that a Brahman may become a Kshatriya. Any other name you remember? Brahman acting as a Kshatriya? Bhagavad Gita, second verse, third verse, Dronacharya. He's a Brahman acting as a Kshatriya. Kripacharya is also acting as a Kshatriya, is fighting there. There were Brahmans, they were knowing all these Kshatriya warfare things, and they used to help the kings when there was a need. Okay, these histories confirm statement. Okay, and Kshatriya may become Brahman. Or Vaishya, Kshatriya may become Vaishya. And Vaishya may become Brahman. by achieving the required qualities. One's status does not depend upon birth, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35 by Narada. Any other such example where the one father's sons, some were Brahman, some were Kshatriya?
Prabhu, Rishabhdev's sons, they
were... Yes, Rishabhdev's 100 sons, 9 and become the emperors, 9 Yogendra, 10 emperors, 9 emperors and 81 Brahmans. 81 Karmakandi Brahman. Yes?
And we read about Nabhag and his son Nabhagavans.
Nabhag son of Nabhag. Nabhag is which dynasty?
I think Sun dynasty, because it was in the beginning.
Yeah, there is a Nabhag. There is a Nabhag somewhere, yes. He was acting as a Brahman?
He was acting as a Vaishya.
Oh, Nabhag is acting as a Vaishya, okay.
No, sorry. Prishadhara.
Prishadhara is the one, he was herding the sheep. And he killed cows, he killed a cow instead of, okay. So he was acting as, he was herding the cows, so he was acting as a Vaishya. Okay. So now this verse from Bhagavatam, this I think we as a preacher must remember this verse, because this verse is a basis to say that the varan is not according to the birth. Yasya talakshnam proktam punsho varana bhivyangjakam yadan yatara pidrishyeta tateneva vinirdisheta. So Narada is saying, if one shows the symptom of being a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, symptom means characteristics, even if he has appeared in a different class means different varna by birth, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. To know who is Brahman and who is Kshatriya, one must consider man's quality and work, guna karma. Guna, quality, mode of, quality here means mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, and work means what he is doing. If all the unqualified Shudras become so-called Brahman and Kshatriya, social order will be impossible to maintain. Thus, there will be a discrepancy. Human society will turn into society of animals, and the situation all over the world will be hellish. So, varnashram, somehow there is a hint about varnashram, but not according to birth, but according to the qualification. Therefore, Prabhupada's mission of Hare Krishna movement is to train the people as a Brahman primarily to guide the rest of the world. But at the end, in his last days, he said, no, we need all 4 ashram and 4 varna. Before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, all our previous acharyas are paramahansas. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, no, I am not eligible to act as a paramahansa. Better I should be in a varna ashram. So he accepted sannyas. He said, I am not eligible to stay at Radha Kund, though I will go to serve my master there. But I will stay at a lesser place like Govardhan in Upadesha Amrit, in a nectar of instruction, where there is a advice to stay at the Radha Kund. He said, that's very nice, but it's for exalted our acharyas, but I am not actually there. But I can go and serve then, but I will live at some other place like Govardhan. So this is also one of the important part. Now what happened to the Vishwamitra? There's a small history of the Vishwamitra here. O King Parikshit, the Vishwamitra has 101 sons, of whom the middle one was known as Madhu Chand. Only one son, middle one is Madhu Chandan. 50 elder and 50 younger, they all were called Madhu Chanda. There was only one name given to the whole family, Madhu Chanda. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, in a yajna there is a one brick which is called especially, empowered by mantra, but all other bricks are called also by that name. Similarly, all the sons of Vishwamitra were called Madhu Chanda. The analogy is given of a one brick in a yajna to be purified by mantra, and all other bricks are considered purified. So in this connection, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes a statement from Vedas, which says Vishwamitra has 101 son, 50 older than Madhu Chanda and 50 younger. Now what happened? That there is a Vishwamitra accepts the son of Ajigrat. This Ajigrat is coming in some Bhrigu dynasty somewhere, I think. We'll soon see. His son's name was Sunhashepa. So he is a son of Ajigrat. Has three sons. One elder, one younger, and he is the middle son. Ajigrat's middle son is Sunhashepa. So he sold the son in a sacrifice to Maharaj Harishchandra, who was born in Bhrigu dynasty. So this is coming in the same dynasty of Parashuram. He's a Brahman. It means he's a Brahman. And his other name is Devarata. The Devarata is other name of Sunhashepa. As one of his own sons. So Vishwamitra accepted him as his own son. Vishwamitra ordered his other sons to accept Sunhashepa as his eldest brother. Why he came to him? So there is a small story. This is the story. Sunhashepa's father sold Sunhashepa to the sacrificed as a man animal in the yajna of King Harishchandra. So there was one King Harishchandra. I think you have heard this name in a sun dynasty, solar dynasty, Harishchandra. His son's name is Rohit, right? Instead of sacrificing Rohit, he has purchased this middle son from Ajigrat. So it says, but when it was the time to sacrifice the boy, Sunhashepa, he prayed to the demigods there at the presence, when they were present at sacrifice arena. And demigods were pleased and they released him by their mercy. So here Srila Prabhupada has a small purport. Here is a description of Sunhashepa, from where he came. When Harishchandra was sacrificing his own son Rohit, Rohit arranged to save his own life by purchasing Sunhashepa from Sunhashepa's father to be sacrificed in the yajna. Sunhashepa was sold to Maharaj Harishchandra. Because of that, he was a middle son. His eldest and youngest son were dear to the father. So he sold that son. So Brahman sold his son, Bhrigu-vanshi Brahman. So this is the story of Sunhashepa. Now what happened? Vishwamitra's eldest 50 sons, they said they were not ready to accept. Although Sunhashepa was born in a Bhrigu dynasty, he's a Brahman. He was greatly advanced in his spiritual life. He's a Brahman, he must be spiritual. And therefore the demigod involved in the sacrificial protected him. So it means those who are spiritual and light, they are always favored by demigods. Consequently, he was also celebrated as the descendant of Gadi, named Devarat. So it is like he has two dynasties now. One he is born in, which is Bhrigu, and one where he is accepted in a Gaudi dynasty, which means moon dynasty. So he's a, like he's a, Parashuram is a Bhrigu dynasty, so he's a Bhrigu dynasty, but he is not accepted in a Gaudi dynasty. Because Vishwamitra accepted him as a son. But what is the reaction of the other son? When requested by their father to accept Sunishefa as the eldest son, the elder 50, Madhu Chandas, the son of Vishwamitra, did not agree. They said, no. How can he be elder to us? We are Kshatriyas. He's a Brahmin. Therefore, Vishwamitra, being angry, cursed them. May all of you, bad son, become Maleshas. He said, being opposed to the principle of Vedic culture. What is that? Malesha means opposed to the principle of Vedic culture. Now Srila Prabhupada has a little purport about Malesha and Yavana. In the Vedic literature there are names like Maleshas and Yavana. The Malesha are understood to be those who do not follow the Vedic principles. In former days the Maleshas were very few, were fewer. And Vishwamitra Muni cursed his sons to become malicious. But in the present age, Kali, there is no need to cursing, for people are automatically malicious. This is the only beginning of the Kali Yuga. But at the end of Kali Yuga, the entire population will consist of malicious. Because of no one will follow the Vedic principle. At that time, the incarnation of Kali will appear. Malecha nivaha nidhane kalayasi kalvala. Karavalam, he will kill all the Malechas indiscriminately with his sword. So Yavan and Malesha. The word is like this, like Muslims say kafir, those who don't follow Islam are called kafir. Similarly, those who don't follow Vedas are called Malechas. These are the words. And Yavana, anybody remember Yavana? In the second canto, when there is a Piraeus by Sukhdev Goswami's Mangalacharan, in fourth chapter, where this famous verse Prabhupada used to always quote, Kirata Hona Pulanda Pulakasha. In this, there is a description of the Maleshas. They were actually descendant of the Kshatriyas. They moved to that and then they changed their of faith and they are called Yavanas. His name was Yavan and they become Yavanas, something like there's a history there. Now what happened? When the elder Madhuchandas were cursed, the younger 50 along with Madhuchanda himself, means 51, approached their father and agreed to accept his proposal. Dear father, they said, we shall abide by whatever arrangement you like. So then Vishwamitra said, thus the younger Madhuchanda accepted Sunushep as their elder brother and told him, we shall follow your order. Vishwamitra then said to his obedient sons, because you have accepted Sunushep as your eldest brother, I am very satisfied. By accepting my order, you have made me a father of worthy sons. Therefore I bless all of you to become father of sons also. Of the 100 sons, half disobeyed Vishwamitra by not accepting Sunishepa as their eldest brother, but the other half accepted his order. Therefore, father blessed the obedient sons to become father of the sons. Otherwise, they too would have been cursed to be sonless Malesha. Now, Vishwamitra said, O Kaushikas, Kaushika is a Gautra of Vishwamitra. Those who are descendant of Vishwamitra are his son, they are called Kaushak Gotra. Kaushak Gotra is Vishwamitra Gotra. Thus, Devarat is my son. He said, now he is my son. Sunishep, he is accepted as Devarat is my son. And is one of you. Please obey his order, O King Parikshat. Vishwamitra has many other sons, such as Ashtak, Harit, Jay, and Kartuman. So they are different than the Madhuchandas, because they are all called Madhuchandas. Now the last verse, Vishwamitra cursed some of his sons and blessed the others, and he also adopted a son, so he has a variety in his descendants. Thus there were varieties in Kaushik dynasty. So in Kaushik dynasty there are some Malechas. In Kaushik dynasties there are some Kshatriyas and some Brahmins, because the Devarat's genealogy will be Brahman. So this Gotra has a variety of dynasty, Kaushik dynasty, but among all sons, Devarat was considered the eldest. This means Brahman side was more powerful. So here actually, we have finished our today's quota, but I think tomorrow there are two chapters. So the 17th chapter is nothing but only names. So you have any question, or we can discuss something, or we can continue to the chapter 17, because 18th chapter needs more discussion. But the 17 only we have to just name, nothing else. So dynasty of the son of Pururva, it means six sons of Pururva, at least you must remember the first one Ayu and the last Vijay. Because these dynasties continues. The other four in between, their only sons are there, but there's not much description. Ayu and Vijay. Ayu is the eldest son of Pururva. The eldest son of Pururva and Urvashi. The Ayu. Because this Ayu, this dynasty is very glorious. Yayati and Yadu, they are coming in Ayu's dynasty. You remember Ayu? You remember Ayu and Yadu? Ayu, Yayati, Yadu. Like this, Ayu, Yayati, Yadu. And then Yadu, then we will come to Krishna. So this is the now dynasty starting. So Ayu, he has five sons. Ayu has five. And his father has six. Right? This chapter describes the dynasty of four of them. Four of Ayu's five sons. The one, they will describe, that will be described in the next chapter. Four are just names. Only two, three good information is for us. So, Ayu, the son of Purva, had five sons, and their names are, one name you might have heard many times, Nahush. Nahush. He became Indra sometime because of his power. At which time he became Indra? When Indra was hiding due to sin of killing Vishwarupa and then killing the... After Vishwarupa, he killed the Vritasur. And then he was, at that time, he was not there. Then Nuhus became the Indra at that time. And Nuhus wanted to enjoy the wife of the Indra, Sachi. So she went to the rishis, what can we do? Well, then they say only he can do offense, then he can be cursed. So she asked the rishis and they told, ask him to take me in a palanquin. You come on a palanquin carried by rishis to me, then I will accept you. So when he was on a palanquin, Nuhus, the August rishi was there, he was saying to him, sarpa, sarpa means go fast, go fast. They become angry and they cursed him to become a sarpa, so he become a python. So then he fell down from the heaven. So this is Nuhus. Then Kshatra Vridha. There is a lot name in this chapter is are the dynasty of Kshatravardha. Raji, there is some description of Raji because he is so powerful that he was given the rule of heaven. Raji was ruling the heaven because he helped Indra and Indra said, okay, you rule the heaven. So Raji is important. Rab and Anen has not very much powerful names here. The rest all are the names. Let us read the verses. Sukhdev Goswami said, from the Purva came a son named Ayu, whose very powerful sons were Nos, Kshatravardha, Raji, Rab and Anen. O Maharaj Parikshit, now hear about the dynasty of Kshatravardha. Kshatravardha's son was Sohotra, who had three sons named Kashya, Kusha and Gritsamadha. From Gritsamadha came Shaunak, and from him came Sunak and Shaunak, the great saint, the best of those conversant with Rig Veda. So what do you think? This is Gritsamadha with Shaunak and then Shaunak. Is the same Shaunak Rishi? I don't know. But it appears like the best great saint. And if he is a great saint, then he is in a dynasty of a Kshatriya. But I think this Shaunak, they are all Bhrguvansi Brahman. This is maybe different. Next. O Sana, the son of Kashya and Kashi. And his son was Rashtra, the father of Dirghatma. Dirghatma had a son named Dhanvantri. This only remember one name. Dhanvantri we know because he is the who was the inaugurator of the medical sciences and incarnation of Lord Vasudev. So Dhanvantri is another incarnation in Moon Dynasty. We have Parshuram and now is Dhanvantri. Okay? Dhanvantri is son of Dirghatma. Dirghatma has a son. And Dirghatma, this is the family of Kshatra. Which family we are reading? Kshatravardha. In a Kshatravardha, second son's family is Dhanvantri. The enjoyer of result of sacrifice. Incarnation of Lord Vasudev, the enjoyer result of sacrifice. One who remembers the name of Dhanvantri can be released from all disease. Okay? Dhanvantri, Karuna go. Dhanvantri. Okay? Yeah, it works, but may not be for us. So only Dhanvantri you can know. The son of Dhanvantri was Ketuman and his son was Bhimarath. The son of Bhimarath was Divodas and son of Divodas was Dhyuman and also known as Pratradhan. So Dhanvantri has a genealogy also. Only you remember there is a Dhanvantri incarnation in 9th canto chapter 17 in the Pururva dynasty. Yeah, Dhyuman also has a son, Shatrujit, Vatsaha, Ridhvaja, Kuvalyavasa, from him was born Alarak. This is a very important name, Alarak. Alarak is more important because he ruled the earth for many years. Alarak, son of Dhyuman, reigned over the earth for 66,000 years. My dear King Parikshit, no one other than him has reigned over the earth for so long as a young man. So remember only one name, Alarak also here, because he ruled the earth for longest period. Okay, next is the from Alarak came son named Santati, or Santati has a son Sunitha, and Sunitha has Nikitena, or Nikiten has Dharmaketu, and Dharmaketu has Satyaketu. What this name will do to us? Just we read the name, what is the benefit? They are all powerful names. In early days, in ISKCON, Boston, there was some problem, and police arrested the devotees. Now for witness, there was one devotee, very simple devotee. I just forgot his name. It may come in a moment to my memory. He was in a witness box, and he said, "Who was present at that time when this incident happened?" This simple devotee, he was saying, "Oh, Dharmaraj was there, Drupad was there, Govind was there." So all those names of devotee he was saying. By chanting all those names, he was so enlightened from within, so he gave the evidence and everybody was released from there. So simply these names are very powerful, because they are, after all, written in Bhagavatam, so they have some power. So we are simply once reading it, but those who are doing the recitation of Bhagavatam, they read every time all these names. So, King Parikshit, some Satyakaha, from Satyaketu came the son named Drishtketu, from Drishtketu, Sukumar, the emperor of the entire world. From Sukumar came son named Vitihotra, from Vitihotra, Bharg, and from Bharg, Bharg Bhumi. And next it says, "O Maharaj Parikshit, all these kings were descendants of Kashi, and they could also be called descendants of Kshatravardha." So this is the dynasty of second son of Purarva, Kshatravardha, those who gave the Vridhi. Vridhi means increment or the protection to the Kshatriya. O son of Rab, the son of Rab was Rabhas, and from Rabhas came Gambhir, and from Gambhir came son named Akriya. Son of Akriya was known as Brahmavit, O king. Now hear about the descendant of Anand. So up till now, verse number 12. Descendant of Kshatravardha were over. Now the descendant of Anen, the another son. From Anen came son named Shuddha, and from Shuddha Shuchi, and from Shuchi Dharma Sarthi, and also called Chitrakrita. From Chitraket was born son named Shantraj, and self-realized soul, who performed all kind of Vedic ritual ceremonies, and therefore did not beget any progeny. So this, there are some Kshatriyas also, they become like that. Shantaraj. The son of Raji, now we are coming to Raji, were 500, all were powerful. This is Raji, another name. On the request of demigod, Raji killed the demons and thus returned the kingdom of heaven to Lord Indra. But Indra, fearing such demon as Prahlad, returned the kingdom of heaven to Raji and surrendered himself at Raji's lotus feet. So this one son, Raji, was so powerful that he was ruling the heaven for some time. So upon Raji's death, when Raji left body, Indra begged Raji's son for return of heavenly planet. "Please give me back." They did not return it, however, although they agreed to return Indra's share in ritualistic ceremonies. What it means that you can take your ceremonies in a yajna, but we will rule the heaven. So Srila Prabhupada writes a small purport. Raji conquered the kingdom of heaven, and therefore, when Indra, the heavenly king, begged Raji's sons to return it, they refused, because they had not taken from heavenly king, from Indra, but had inherited it from their father. They considered it their paternal property. Why then should they return it to the demigods? But then demigods were powerful. Thereafter, Braspati, the spiritual master of demigod, offered oblation in the fire, so that son of Raji would fall from the moral principle. When they fell, Lord Indra killed them easily because of their degradation. Not a single one of them remained alive. From the Kusha, the grandson of Kritadvaja, was born a son named Prati, and son of Prati was Sanjaya, and the son of Sanjaya was Jaya, and from Jaya Kirta was born, and from Kirta king Haryabala. Okay, from Haryabal came a son named Sahadev, and from Sahadev came Heen, and son of Heen was Jaisin, and son of Jaisin was Sankrit, and son of Sankrit was powerful and expert fighter named Jay. These kings were the member of Chhatravardha dynasty. Now let me describe you the dynasty of Nuhus. So here we, tomorrow we will start dynasty of Nuhus.
Hare Krishna Bhaji.
Yes, now we can discuss something. Okay.
Can I ask a question, Bhaji?
Yes, yes, now, yeah, yes, yes, welcome.
Bhaji, just like we see here, Braspati, the spiritual master of demigods, by performing a sacrifice, he makes the fall of sons of Raji. Seems the spiritual master or the Brahmanas are very selfish and... they were right in their own point that they inherited this property from their father. Some adjustment, or he could have explained them, make them understand the matter. Things could have been resolved in a peaceful manner. But Indra killed all of them. So Brahmanas here seems to be very selfish in favor of demigods. Braspati.
Well, there's no much purport given here, neither the Acharyas has given any insight in all these things. But what we can say is, let me see if there's anything, anything in Chakravarti Pada, has written anything, let me see, on this issue. I think nobody has written anything. Okay, 9. This is 9:17. All right, let me see. Hare Krishna. Upon Raji's death, Indra begged Raji's son for return of the heavenly planet. They did not return it, however, although they gave Indra the share of sacrifice. Okay. When Braspati offered oblation in the fire, Indra killed the sons who had fallen from the path. Not a single of them remained alive. Okay, nothing. No purport is given either by the Chakravarti Pada, has not given any line on this. So, what we can discuss on this is one thing is that Indra went and as we can just guess, Indra went and asked that now give my kingdom because your father helped us over the demons. So by my own will I gave him the kingdom to rule. Now he is no more. So you hand over my kingdom to me. And they must have said, no, you have not given me. We have got inherited from our father. So he must have gone to his priest, that what we can do. And this priest is also the Vibhuti of Supreme Lord, Braspati. This is what we can do is, like the Nuhus case we were discussing, that he offended the saintly person, therefore he was cursed. Similarly, by their sacrificial power, they were degraded from their kshatri standard and therefore Indra killed them. So, what your question is, Brahman was selfish to help them. This is the Prohit. Therefore, tomorrow we will see, Acharya will say it is not good to be Prohit of anybody. Prohit, word means, he is a Prohit. Pro means first. It means benefit. First he will think of benefit of his yajman. Yajman means those who follow him. So this is this is what you remember. If you remember Vasishth, he went to perform the yajna of Indra instead of performing the Nimi's yajna. Therefore Nimi cursed him and they counter curse one another. So this Prohit profession is not really very high class profession in one sense, because they have to benefit their dependents. Therefore Shukracharya said, well, I will better to have the what's called ayachak vritti. I will not beg from anybody. I will just get whatever grain are there in the field. So that is the highest Brahman. I think Vishwaroop, if you remember Vishwaroop, when he was requested by Indra to become a Prohit, what did he say? No, this is not a good profession. I would like to be a Brahman and I would like to simply get whatever is available free without any karma. Prohit has to take karma of their disciples, of their descendants. They have to take their karma because he is working for them. So definitely this is the Prohit's business. So he has performed his yajna, and by that the Raji's sons, they fell down from their ruling character of a Kshatriya, and therefore Indra was powerful enough to kill them. Otherwise, yeah, Indra was...
this Prohit profession means it's a category for Brahmana.
Yes.
I think it's one who is performing yajna on behalf of someone.
I like, this is a family priest. Prohit means family priest. It's like a family doctor, there's a family priest. Like all the Brahman in olden days, they have their own yajman. Their yajman means those, they are getting the all services in their home from the birth till the death, all pujas by those Brahmans. They were their family priest. And they were maintained by those people. So Prohit is a sort of profession in which they have to benefit their followers for whom they are doing the priesthood.
Can we take this principle, Prabhuji, from this here? If a Brahmana is dependent on other for his maintenance, then he has to take the part of the reaction also.
If the Brahman is not in a pure devotional service, definitely he will suffer the consequences of their karma. This is all karmakand is Brahman. This is what karmakand is Brahmans are doing. Therefore, this karmakand is not very high standard Brahman's business. It's good, a Brahman can do this, but higher Brahman is a yachak, which never beg for anything. Yes.
On a similar theme. Like we saw that Vishwamitra cursed his own sons to become Malechas. So it just surprises me that, you know, someone who's a Brahmin and a Rishi can curse someone to fall down from religious principles. You know, and we saw it also in the Daksha Yajna, where they're cursing, all this cursing and counter-cursing, and one of the curses is that may you fall down from religious principles. So it just kind of shocks me, because as devotees, we're spending so much time and energy and blood to try to bring people up to following religious principles. And then how can someone, you could curse him to lose his wealth or lose his power or whatever, but why would a religious person curse someone to become irreligious?
Very good question, but the religious principle, one of the religious principles is to follow the father and the spiritual master. If they disobey that one principle, and if they have no higher principle than that, then they are disobeying the principle of scripture. Because tomorrow we will see that the son of Yayati, the Yadu, will not obey his father. But he will not be cursed, because he was very much determined to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any motive. Similarly, four Kumaras, they disobeyed Brahma, his father. But their purpose was not to disobey the religious principle, but only to engage into the meditation on the Supreme Lord, Brahma. So, this is also breaking the religious principle by not obeying the order of the father, who is like a spiritual master, provided that father is fallen or a spiritual master is fallen, or else they have some higher purpose in life. They have no higher purpose. They were simply thinking that why father is asking me this? So they were also breaking the religious principle, therefore they were cursed. That they are not fit really to understand the religion, and they have disobeyed the father, which is as good as disobeying the spiritual master. And that is their apradh, therefore they have to fall down, but that is for their purification. Definitely they will be purified in due course of time. But usually those Brahmins who curse are not called Hare Krishna. Well, this was done, disconnected. Is it okay now? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. The net was disconnected for a while. All right. So what the point we were making?
That the cursing of them, because they were already irreligious, yeah, then the curse was too correct.
Generally, principally speaking, the Brahman, if he gives curse, he loses his power of austerity. This is Brahman who gives curse are not first-class Brahmans. They should not give curse. Blessing they can give, but it is not. They should not give either blessing. They should simply give them the spiritual knowledge. But they can give blessing, but cursing Brahmans are not accepted as the first-class Brahman. They have a power, like Sringi gave curse to Maharaj Parikshit, and first time the Brahman cursed the Kshatriya, and there was a fight between the Brahman and Kshatriya, and the whole Varna Ashram was disturbed from that point. So that curse is not accepted as a good. His father did not approve that you have done a good thing. His own father did not approve that. Similarly, Gandhi said you should not have killed the king. You must have forgiven. So Brahman who give forgive is a better one. But who give curse is not better one. But these are all powerful people. Why they are doing it? They are giving us some insight that sometime the son, if they disobey the father, they will be definitely degraded without their curse. If there is a bona fide father and son is not following him, then definitely they will degrade.
Yeah, also in the case of Jamadagni, I mean, he was a Brahmin, but he wasn't at all tolerant. You know, like one of the qualities of a Brahmin is supposed to be tolerant and...
He advised, but he could not do this when his own wife had small mental offense and he became angry and therefore he suffered. Therefore he suffered because he was father of a great devotee, the Supreme Lord Parshuram himself. So he actually, Parshuram upgraded him back to as a Saptarishi, even though his son sin was rectified. His sin was rectified because he was murdered, and then he was again given the higher post of a Saptarishi, one of the seven sages.
Also, I was thinking that the relationship between Jamadagni and Renuka didn't seem to be a very healthy marriage relationship if she was already like fearful of her husband, you know, this relationship.
But actually she was called Sati, means she was very chaste woman. But this was a different time when only mental offense, this is what only from Bhagavatam I simply reminded that in that time mental offense also was punishable, but in Kali Yuga it's not. But actually Renuka, well, she was a very chaste wife. How can she not be a chaste and then get an incarnation of Parshuram from her womb? So she was definitely very exalted lady. Therefore, she got the opportunity to be mother of a great one of the incarnation, Parshuram. Yes.
What lesson can we take from this chapter overall? 17th chapter.
17 means last chapter? Genealogy?
Any lesson we can take from this chapter?
What we discuss in this chapter are the different whole genealogy of Kshatra Vardha and his sons. A heavenly kingdom occupied, and then Raji's son did not give back. So,
one should not become puffed up with that something which belongs to others. One should not be greedy. The sons of Raji.
Yeah, sons of Raji, they become proud and they wanted to continue to be the ruler of Indra, which they were not eligible in one sense. What lesson we have to learn from chapter 17? What are the questions in chapter 16? From 17th chapter, what lesson we should learn in general?
Prabhuji, can we also learn a lesson that all that remains is a list of names? And it's, all these great kings, and today we are not even interested in reading their names.
Well, this is one of the lessons from whole 9th canto, that these are only names in the history. The life is temporary, therefore we should become devotee and not waste life. Even the biggest kings are just a name in history. This is Prabhupada's one poem, particularly when he was departing from Calcutta. He said, this is the same city when I was born, where I was playing, where I was a student, and where I have so many friends and big, my parents in whose lap I played, but where now they are only names. They all are gone. This is a very good idea. This lesson appears to be very good also. Yes, these are the only names in the history. Though they were the great, you can write few lines that this Alark was a so great king that he ruled the kingdom for 66,000 years, but now his name is only in a one line. So what is the importance of the human life if we take really seriously? That lesson we shall learn from this. What else? What else? Sometime we inherit the property of the parents, and if we are not really rightful owner of that, then time will take that from us. So we should not be puffed up by the property of the inheritance, but we should do our own efforts and become perfect in our own Krishna consciousness, something like that. This is another from Raji's. From son of Raji, we can learn this lesson also. Because people think that it is our father's property, and they don't respect and regard even the heavenly king Indra. He's not an ordinary person. He's selected by God. He's selected by Manvantara Avatar as a one Indra. And if you say he gave by his own will to Raji to rule. So this is one other thing. If we become proud of inheritance and don't respect the higher authorities, then there will be disaster. These are two lessons, or some other. Somebody can also say something else. Some general principle, general lesson we can learn from this.
Santaraj, he was a self-realized soul and he performed many Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, but still he didn't get any progeny. So his karma is so strong. So one cannot go.
Rather, he may be a celibate. He never entered into the grihastha life. It doesn't say anything. It may be, I don't know exactly about this, but This is something that even Kshatriyas can renounce everything and become completely like we have this son of, I think Dhruva Maharaj's son Utkal never entered into the princely order. He never became a king and he became a celibate. And then you have done this in the eighth, I think, yeah, in the eighth canto. The son of Anshuman, the son of Smaraj Sagar, he never wanted to be king. He wanted simply to be in a renounced order like Jad Bharata. So this Anshuman never entered into the cave. He always did something that they should neglect him. But this is not really good principle to get from this chapter. The first one is good only names in the history, and second one is inheritance. And if we insist on that, if we are not eligible and we disobey the higher authority, then there will be disaster.
Something else we can learn is that if we fall down from moral principles, if we break the religious principles, then we become easily defeated.
If we follow the dharma, dharma protects us. If we break the principle of dharma, then we will create our own process for creating our own fall down. Path going to down. Yeah, this is. Then we have to give reference. So when we say what lesson we learn, then we can at least quote one point, one verse, that what we are saying, that the person can. I mean, this is not a prototype question that everybody can say one same answer. So you can say one answer from your own intelligence, but you quote that I personally picked this point in this verse, and therefore this is my understanding of this lesson. So right now we have actually two. One is the only names and other is the inheritance of property.
Okay, so in text 15,
yes,
it says that because Brihaspati did this sacrifice so that the sons of Raji would fall down from moral principles, and when they fell, then Lord Indra killed them easily because of their degradation.
Yes, so we refer that this... this is one principle, inheritance of the property, disrespecting the authority, and then they fall from the religious principle, and therefore this is the lesson we learn from this. That will be the, at least then, the person who check your answer can relate to from where you are saying.
Prabhu, I have a very general question.
Yes.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, which day of Parikshit Maharaj, which day was it spoken? Like in the 7 days? Like...
which canto was it spoken on which day? Well, up till five, generally it was the fourth day was over by the time ninth canto was over. On a fifth day, I think fourth, the tenth canto started. Generally, it says that is the day it says. Yeah, it was a fourth day, ninth canto was stopped, and tenth canto started on fifth day. This is what my, because when he asked the question, tell me more about the moon than Krishna, then the Parikshit will, then Sukhdev will say, you take some water, it is already 4 days over. So it means 4 days are over and 5 days is that on 10th canto start on the fifth day. This is my, and I can recall this like that. I'm sure it's like that. Okay, Hare Krishna, see you tomorrow with the chapter 18. Hare Krishna. So what lesson we learned, you can also churn and come up with some more insight if you can get. Hari Bol, Gaur Premanande. Kido kai?
Paisa.
Paisa ke thalaun.
Okay.